of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to separate actually from other material things about thinking about this world and try to focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Imam said that فِيهِ لَيْلَةٌ عَلْعَمَلُ فِيهَا خَيْرٌ مِّنَ الْعَمَلُ فِي أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. If you have your best action and your best worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Laylatul Qadr is actually much better than having any other action in 1,000 months. So, you know, it can be righteous action, it can be forgiving, for generosity, for the needy people, try to be away from committing any error or mistake, and try to always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to whatever righteous action possible, try to do it for other fellow human being, whether Muslim or non-Muslim.
That's all right. Okay, Sheikh Mahtavi, your final remarks regarding Laylatul Qadr.
Allah, since we are approaching the nights of power and the nights of destiny, we ask all of our dear brothers and sisters to keep us in their du'as, and also we pray for them because of the significance of this night that is not going to happen after this Ramadan. Mm-hmm. The most important thing to be asked from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeking forgiveness. As we see in all of the du'as of Shahr Ramadan, we have this forgiveness. Forgiveness, and to be freed from the hellfire, inshallah, because of the dhunub and sins that mistakenly or willingly, sometimes, God forbid, we commit. We are really in need of praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and which time is much better than this blessed time of Laylatul Qadr.
That's right. چه مبارک سحری بود و چه فرخنده شبی آن شب قدر که آن تازه براتم دادن. You know, the Laylatul Qadr has also been so much significant that even in the most outstanding poems of the outstanding Persian poets has been repeated very much by Hafez, Molavi, and also Saadi in most of them. And as you said, understanding the significance, and it's better to say the preciousness of this night, is also very much important, because you might miss it. It is not going to be repeated, you know, during the other nights of the year. This is a chance, an opportunity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a special chance given to the Muslims. We are invited to the holy month of Allah and to the holy night. Okay.
And I think it's good to have this very quick reference to this story of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, that during those nights she would keep the children also awake. It's very nice that she was splashing drops of water on the face of the children to keep them vigil, only for these nights to train them that okay, these are a very, very special times, actually for Hassanain when they were kids. So it means that doesn't matter if we are adult or kids or children, destiny is destiny for them or for adults. So they taught us these things that we have to follow their teachings, inshallah, doing these things for our family as well.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Mahtavi and Sheikh Nur Muhammad, for a nice elaboration regarding the significance of Laylatul Qadr. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, brothers and sisters, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Do not forget us in your du'as and supplications during Laylatul Qadr. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanillah.
إلهي قد تراكمت الذنوب وما زالت بغفلتها القلوب وما زالت بغفلتها القلوب لعفوك يا محب.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Please don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.ir. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa man yarjuka rabbi la yakhibu. Ilahi, 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 ilahi.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except him, and he has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity,
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hossein Latifi and you're listening to your program For Humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program, we talk about different teachings from the Holy Quran about the human being and humanity, and we try to understand the position of human being in the overall theology of Islam. And in the previous episodes, we ended up talking about some of the ahadith that we have interpreting some of the verses of the Holy Quran about human intellect. We said that the role of intellect in the overall interpretation, the overall image that we take from the Holy Quran, image of man, we see that the role of intellect is a significant role, and that's why we need to understand what exactly this intellect is, and if it is anything that we normally call this person is very smart, for example, Quran also means that, or there's a specific sense of the word that has been used in the Holy Quran, or in the interpretations of the Holy Quran in the Ahadith of Ahlul Bayt and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we said there is one beautiful hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that interprets intellect practically. Well, there are different theoretical discussions about how we can understand intellect, the relationship between intellect and emotions, and but one easy way to understand the nature of intellect is by seeing and locating the practical results and consequences and manifestations of a person who has intellect. So there's this beautiful hadith from the Prophet that says, if a person has perfected the intellect, then you have to check
these 10 virtues in him or her. If he or she has these 10 virtues, then it shows that he has a perfect intellect. So one or two of them we covered previous episode. Now we're going to cover some of the rest. Another virtue is that a person who possesses intellect and he has rational understanding is that يَسْتَكْثَرُ قَلِيلَ الْخَيْرِ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ. Such a person, when somebody does a favor to him, he takes it as a big deal. He behaves in a way that shows that I appreciated your favor. I appreciate your help. يَسْتَكْثَرُ قَلِيلَ الْخَيْرِ. Even if it is small, then he thanks you, he shows gratitude to a level that as if it's a big deal. And we had this in the life of our ulama, for example, Imam Khomeini, may Allah be pleased with his soul. A person says towards the end of his life, when I brought just a glass of water for him, he started thanking me and showing gratitude, and I was somehow surprised. It was just a glass of water, but as if I had done something. This stems from the humility of a person. يَسْتَكْثَرُ قَلِيلَ الْخَيْرِ. And humility is a sign of perfect intellect. يَسْتَكْثَرُ قَلِيلَ الْخَيْرِ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ وَيَسْتَقِلُّ كَثِيرَ الْخَيْرِ مِنْ نَفْسِهِ. When he does a lot of good things, he makes a big favor to other people, help them greatly. He acts as if it's nothing. He acts as if it was his duty, it was something that, again, we have this in the behavior of people who had been trained by Quran and Ahadith, and they have perfected their intellect in the school of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. We're going to have a break and we come back to continue talking about the other virtues of a person who possesses intellect according to this beautiful hadith.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hussein Latifi, and you're listening to your program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In the first segment, we covered two other virtues of a person who has perfect intellect, and now we should continue to know the rest of them. Another virtue of a person with perfect intellect is that he does not get tired from learning. وَلَا يَسْأَمْ مِنْ طَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ طُولَ عُمْرِهِ. A person with perfect intellect does not say, okay, now I'm graduated, it's finished, learning is finished. No, my brother, my sister, formal education is finished, if there is a finish line for that. Learning does not finish in your life. We always should be ready, should be accepting lessons. لَا يَسْأَمُ مِنْ طَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ طُولَ دَهْرِهِ. Throughout his lifetime, her lifetime, he doesn't get tired. Say, okay, I spent 20 years learning, then I don't want to learn. No, even in any vocation that you have, in any job you are, whatever career you have, there are always things to learn and be more perfect in what you do. So, a sign of a person with perfect intellect, according to the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that such a person does not say, okay, now this is the finish line of learning. No. لا يسأل من طلب العلم طول دهره ولا يتبرم بطلاب الحوائج قبله. What does it mean? It means that if people need your help, if people come to you and ask you for favor, if you get tired, then it shows that the intellect is not perfect. And you may ask why. It is natural to get tired. But there is another hadith that explains this. There is a hadith, if I'm not mistaken, from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He says that people request to you is a sign of God's mercy upon you. It shows that you have a ni'mah. It shows that you have a blessing. It shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen you as a source of distributing His ni'mah toward
His other servants, His other creation. And do not get tired from this situation. You know, if you do something that you like, you don't get tired. If you know the value of what you're doing, then you don't get tired. So Imam or the Prophet tries to say, appreciate that position, the position of being a mediation in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this could happen in every sense. So when we say help and favor, most people, they think of like financial help. That's one instance, but it's not all. Sometimes it's about teaching someone something. It's about giving a tip to someone. It's about like supporting a person emotionally. So if you have that capacity to facilitate something for someone, to transfer some experience to someone, to help him does his or her job better, then appreciate that position and do not hesitate and do not feel tired. This is something you should enjoy it. So, and it shows a person with perfect intellect understand the value of such a thing and does not get tired of it. And then, yes, the rest of the hadith is very beautiful. I'm afraid if we continue, we cannot finish it in this episode. So we leave it for the next episode. Each of these phrases of the hadith, we can find traces of them in the verses of the Holy Quran. Why such a thing the Prophet has included in his hadith? And we realize that there is a Quranic teaching related to that. Inshallah, we follow it up in the next episode. Thank you very much for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على النبي صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل النبي صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على النبي صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل النبي.
In the limelight.
While the Zionists are huffing and puffing, if they make the mistake of attacking Iran again, there will be a very heavy price to pay. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Crescent International wrote, Islamic Republic of Iran's retaliatory strike on Israel, launched on April 30th night, has left the genocidal Zionist shell-shocked. Regardless of the spin they put on it, there were no casualties and there was minor damage to the Nevatim airbase. The fact that is that Iran penetrated its air defenses and struck where it wanted. Iran announced ahead of time its intention to retaliate for the Zionist regime's attack on its consulate at its embassy in Damascus. This led some ill-informed observers to allege that Tehran was not serious. Further, that even when Iran launched its drones, it announced doing so in advance. Iran's Shahed-136 drone is a slow-moving aerial vehicle that makes a distinctive humming noise. This increased the skepticism of those who had already convinced themselves that Iran was only putting up a show. After all, why announce your plans ahead of time to give your enemy the time to prepare? The world saw that the Zionist regime's Western backers, including the US, Britain, and France, as well as two bit player, the British-installed Jordanian monarchy, all came to Israel's defense. By the time the drones reached Israeli air defense, Western Air Force planes were ready to take them out. The Zionist regime also activated its much-vaunted $1 billion Iron Dome. Iran's Shahed 136 drone cost $20,000. Every missile fired from the Iron Dome or any other air defense platform costs $1 million plus. In terms of direct costs alone, the Zionist regime and its backers had to spend $1 million to take out a single $20,000 drone. The Zionist regime's cost in air defense has been estimated at over $1.35 billion. This amount does not take into account the loss suffered as a result of closure of its airspace, disruption to its economy, and other associated costs. Iran's next wave of strikes consisted of cruise missiles that are designed to release multiple dummy missiles to set the Iron Dome missiles on a wild chase. These multiple missiles are actually decoys meant to confuse and overwhelm the Iron Dome or other systems like David's sling. This is exactly what happened. While Israel's U.S.-supplied Iron Dome was chasing the decoys, Iran launched another salvo of hypersonic missiles that struck the Israeli airbase at Nevatim in the south. Iran has said 20 missiles struck this airbase, causing extensive damage. The Zionist regime's military spokesperson, Daniel Hagari, admitted that some missiles got through but caused light structural damage. How he quantified light structural damage was not explained, but there was admission that some missiles did go through. These missiles, believed to be the Fatah hypersonic missiles, sent an important message. No place in Israel is safe from Iran's precision missiles. If Iran had wanted, it could have hit the bunker in Tel Aviv, where Netanyahu was hiding during the retaliatory strike. So why strike the Nevatim airbase in particular? It was from this base that the Zionist regime had launched its U.S.-supplied F-35 planes, whose missiles destroyed Iran's consulate in Damascus, in which seven Iranian Revolutionary Guard commanders were murdered. Two of them were generals, Mohammad Reza Zahedi and his deputy general, Mohammad Hadi Haji Rahimi. General Zahedi was the commander of Revolutionary Guard's forces in Syria and Lebanon. Iran also struck the Ramon Air Base in the Negev, as well as another military base on the illegally occupied Golan Heights. Following the Zionist regime's April 1st attack on Iran's consulate in Damascus, Tehran still opted for the diplomatic route. It urged the UN Security Council to condemn Israel's attack on its consulate, which was in flagrant violation of the Vienna Convention guaranteeing protection to diplomatic missions. Diplomatic missions are considered the country's territory. So, the Zionist regime's attack on Iran's diplomatic mission was essentially Iranian territory. When a statement drafted by Russia condemning the consulate attack was vetoed by the US, the UK and France, Iran was deeply disappointed, though not surprised. Those that drumbeat the loudest for upholding rule-based international order are its biggest violators. Despite this disappointing outcome at the UN, Iran still opted for a diplomatic solution. It said that it would not strike Israel if there was a ceasefire in Gaza. The arrogant Zionists and their equally arrogant Western backers assumed that Iran was not capable of striking Israel. In the past, Iran had shown a strategic restraint when its generals were murdered in Syria or its scientists in Tehran. Iran's patience was exhausted. It was time to act and do so forcefully. Its response came on the night of April 13th. Iran not only punctured the Zionist regime's myth of invincibility it had already been seriously dented by Hamas' valiant resistance that has lasted more than 6 months, but also exposed the Zionist entity as a dependency of the Western regimes that attempt to protect it. The strike delivered a number of messages to the US, Israel, and the Arab regimes. Iran can hit any part of Israel directly and overwhelm the so-called Iron Dome. And it did on April 13th to 14th from its own territory without using its allies in the region. There is little that Israel could do about it. While the Zionists are huffing and puffing, if they make the mistake of attacking Iran again, there will be a very heavy price to pay. The same message has been delivered to the treacherous Arab regimes. Their concrete and glass towers will come crashing down if they continue to stay in bed with the Zionists. American bases in the region will suffer the same fate. Further, Iran can chalk off the supply of oil to world markets by blocking the Strait of Hormuz. It will cause massive damage to the economies of the US, Europe, and other countries. And there is little or nothing they can do about it.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So welcome to this episode of Lantern, in which in every program we have a nice story, of course. We learned many things from that short story, inshallah. The title of today's story is Lesson from a Butterfly. One day a small opening appeared in a cocoon. A man sat and watched for the butterfly for several hours as it struggled to force its body through that little hole. Then it seems to stop making any progress. It appeared as if it had gotten as far as it could, and it could not go any further. So the man decided to help the butterfly. He took a pair of scissors and opened the cocoon. The butterfly then emerged easily, but it had a withered body. It was tiny and shriveled wings. The man continued to watch because he expected that at any moment the wings would open, enlarge and expand to be able to support the butterfly's body and become firm. Neither happened. In fact, the butterfly spent the rest of its life crawling around with a withered body and shriveled wings. It never was able to fly. What the man in his kindness and his goodwill did not understand was that the restricting cocoon and the struggle required for the butterfly to get through the tiny opening were Allah's way of forcing fluid from the body of the butterfly into its wings so that it would be ready for flight once it achieved its freedom from the cocoon. Sometimes, struggles are exactly what we need in our life. If God allows us to go through our life without any obstacles, it would cripple us. We would not be as strong as we could have been, never been able to fly. I asked for strength, and God gave me difficulties to make me strong. I asked for wisdom, and Allah gave me problems to solve. I asked for prosperity, and Allah gave me a brain and brawn to work. I asked for courage, and Allah gave me obstacles to overcome. I asked for love, and Allah gave me troubled people to help. I asked for favors and Allah gave me opportunities. I received nothing I wanted, but I received everything I needed. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. Welcome to a new episode of Lantern from iRib English Radio. This is Zainab Musavi, and what we do in this program is to listen to certain religious stories and then try to ponder about them and take some lessons and themes out of these stories in order to make use of them in our daily lives as Muslims. Well, today we want to talk about the difficulties and hardship that may occur to every one of us in this life. It is sometimes wrongly assumed that a person experiences hardship due to his or her own immorality or irresponsibility. Indeed, suffering is a tool for the forgiveness of our sins and might be a sign of God's love for a person. In this way, when people see someone suffering, they assume that person to be responsible, a view commonly seen throughout the history. However, we might not know that it is more complicated than this. We must not have a simplistic understanding of what happens in this world. Indeed, although we cannot generalize as read in the Holy Book of Quran and also in the Ahadith from the infallible Imams alayhim as-salam, the reality can be the opposite. If someone is suffering, there is a great chance that the person may be a good person. Of course, we cannot say that whoever is suffering is definitely a good person. I'm simply trying to correct the opposite view that people tend to think that whoever is suffering is immoral or has acted unwisely or irresponsibly. In the Holy Book of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He has no reservations in giving worldly gifts, the possessions of this dunya, to the people who are not good or even those who disbelieve in Him. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if it was not for the believers becoming perplexed and somehow in danger of losing their faith, He would have even given them more. In this way, and the verse is this, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولولا أن يكون الناس أمة واحدة لجعلنا لمن يكفر بالرحمن لبيوتهم سقفا من فضة ومعارج عليها يظهرون. Were it not for the danger that mankind would be one community, we would have surely made for those who defy the all beneficent silver roofs for their houses and silver stairways by which they ascend. Surah Az-Zukhruf, verse number 33. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again says in His Holy Book, وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا. Let the faithful not suppose that the respite we grant them is good for their souls. We give them respite only that they may increase in sin. Surah Al-Imran, verse number 178. Well, in this verse, in addition to some others in the Holy Book of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that when God gives those disbelievers opportunity, time, and chance to make more out of this worldly life, people should not think that God loves them and is supporting them. On the contrary, God is in fact giving them more opportunities to continue their criminal life and increase their sinful actions. Thus, if they are given longer lives, we must not be surprised. Okay, now let's go for a short break and we will be back very soon. Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story which indicates a moral aspect of our life. Welcome back to your audience. You're listening to Lantern from iRib English Radio, and we are talking about the problems and difficulties that might happen to every one of us in this world. Well, the fact is also clearly mentioned in the hadith from the infallible Imams alayhim as-salam that those people suffering are not necessarily bad people, and on the opposite,
those who enjoy from the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not necessarily good people. For example, once a person talked to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam about the suffering of the faithful people, and the Imam alayhi salam quoted a hadith from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. According to this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked as to whom would receive the greatest calamities and to whom the greatest tragedies happen in this world. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to that question that the prophets or al-Nabiyun suffered the most in this world, and then those who most resemble the prophets suffer the most. So anyone who is closer to the prophet in rank suffers more. And when someone suffers, it is not due to his immorality or because God does not want him or her to be loved. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. And we have no more time to continue. I really wish that you have enjoyed listening to this episode. And until another one, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was all for today. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode. Till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
This is
for a better life.
For a better life.
فرمود بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, I have been sent to complete noble manners.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. السلام علیکم dear listeners, welcome back to a new episode of For a Better Life. Once again, we have the opportunity to be here together in order to talk more about ways, rituals in order to have a better life. As you know, in the last episode, we considered both the physical benefits and spiritual benefits of fasting, which has actually a presupposition to get closer to Allah Almighty. Another spiritual benefit of fasting is that fasting brings you closer to your thoughts and emotions. You have probably felt an overarching sense of calm in every one of us from the first time that we went through the fasting till now, helped us to think deeper. Every one of us experienced this sense of calmness and peace at our heart, and this beautiful vibe of empathy and sympathy for poor people, which is specific and unique in its own vibe and sense. And quite often, even though the raging hunger of a long fast bothers us, we're calmed down by an overbearing sense of peace. These emotions are the direct impact of a closer connection to Allah Almighty. And this calmness also allows us to be better attuned to our own thoughts and emotions, since we slowly drift away from the hurry and fuzz of worldly desires. Another thing that is quite related to the last spiritual benefit of fasting, which was bringing a kind of closeness to our thoughts and emotion, is that these kind of actually rituals that we go through in the Holy Month of Ramadan will help you and will actually bring you a relief, a sense of relief of worldly desires, which is quite the same as the peace that I mentioned. Let's have more details of this actually spiritual benefit of fasting, which is a sense of relief of worldly desires, after a short break. Then we're going to come back in a blink of an eye.
Your mercy, your love is all I need.
Is all I need.
All I need.
All I need.
All I need,
love is all I need.
All I need,
love is all I need.
Oh, oh, oh.
Love is all I need to be all
I need.
And I know that you see how much you need.
Oh, oh, oh.
Love is all I need to be all I can be. And I know that you see how much you mean to me. Love is all about me, to be all I can be. I know that you see how much you mean to me.
Your love is all I need.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program For a Better Life. In the first part of our episode, we talked about one of the spiritual benefits of fasting. Every human being has a body and a soul. Both the body and the soul have certain desires, and they strive for domination over one another in order to fulfill their desires. Lustful desires pertain to the body created from dry clay. In connection with this, the Holy Quran declares, verily, we created man from potter's clay, from mud molded into shape. So, as we say, Allah Almighty Himself has created this body, this soul, and He is all aware of all the aspects of our body. So, when we see throughout the verses of Holy Quran that Allah Almighty mentioned fasting as one of the most practices of taqwa or piety or the sense of fear from Allah Almighty, we can understand the importance of this holy action. So we mentioned that the other aspect of a human being is actually its soul, which is a reminder of the wisdom, the creation of humanity, which guides them toward good and godly deeds, helping them to contemplate and admire the spiritual worlds. The soul is a part of our creation, which we have to nourish it with different guidance that we have throughout our religion, Islam, and narrations and verses of Holy Quran, which, as I told you, one of the most important actions in order to purify your soul and nourish it with the knowledge and closeness of Allah Almighty is fasting. One of the ways that fasting will help you to go through all these alteration and inner revolutions by helping you as believers to remember Allah Almighty. Every hour, even every second of the daily life of a person who fasts leads to the remembrance of Allah and reunion with the Almighty and the blessings He has bestowed upon human beings. So fasting brings about this remembrance in two ways. First of all, it makes the believers long for eternal blessings by showing them that the worldly favors are not actually there always for you. They will disappear in a blink of an eye. The pleasure that the believers who fast enjoy when they break their fast and thus end a form of suffering also makes them remember Allah and the eternal blessings He has created for them in the hereafter. Although those who suffer from hunger and thirst from dawn until sunset apparently feel pain, the favors that await them in the other world soothe their sufferings. Moreover, they find pleasure in contemplating reunion with Almighty Allah, and it is for Him that believers abstain from food, drink, and other worldly desires. So, the noble messenger, peace and blessings be upon him and his family, says, there are two pleasures for the fasting person, one at the time of breaking their fast, and the other at the time when they will meet their Lord. So I believe we gotta go through a short break in order to get refreshed. Then we're gonna come back in order to talk more about the spiritual benefits of fasting. Thank you, dear listeners, for being here with me. For a better life here, and as you remember, we are talking about the spiritual benefit of fasting. One of the most important aspects that we talked about up to here was the point that fasting helps the believer to remember Allah, and the beautiful, actually, a narration from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, about the two pleasures of a fasting person. And in this part of our episode, which is the last part of the today's episode, we're going to talk more about this dimension that fasting helps the believer ascend to the level of the angels. Human beings have characteristics and faculties that are both physical and spiritual. When they avoid their physical feelings, these feelings weaken and their spiritual properties prosper. Allah the Almighty has provided humanity with the willpower to descend from a most exalted rank to the lowest of the low, or vice versa. Therefore, sometimes humans can be more revered than the angels and become closer to their Lord, while at other times some people are worse than any devil. Which means, surely, we have created human of the best stature as the perfect pattern of creation. Then we have reduced him to the lowest of the low, except those who believe and do good, righteous deeds, so there is for them a reward constant and beyond measure. The difference between human beings and angels is that humans have a physical soul. Angels cannot eat, drink, have some worldly desires, or be rebellious to their Lord, because of their intrinsic characteristics, they are occupied with the remembrance of Allah and worship continuously, which means they speak not before He speaks, and they act in all things by His command. He knows what is before them and what is behind them. But for humans, the story is completely different. One of the blessings that we as human beings have is the ability and the blessing of free will and choice, so that we can go through the process of thinking, process of reasoning, in order to satisfy our brain that we need. We have this natural need of our soul in order to worship Allah Almighty. And fasting is a big opportunity for the true believers and the true seeker of knowledge in order to nourish this dimension of their soul. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Every grain of sand in every desert land He knows. Every shade of palm, every closed hand He knows. Every sparkling tear on every eyelash He knows. Every thought I have and every word I share He knows.
In the limelight.
Iran's prestige as the foremost supporter of Palestine's freedom struggle has been enormously bolstered. It is a position it has not shied away from nor concealed. The most important lesson of Iran's heroic mission is that fighting for liberation, defending sovereignty, and resisting occupation and oppression is a just cause. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Press TV wrote, the eve of April 14th, 2024, and the hours that followed into the night will be recorded in history as truly momentous. 4. It saw the Islamic Republic of Iran launch the military operation directly from its soil on apartheid Israel's colonial regime. Operation True Promise, as it was called, was a natural and legitimate response to the Tel Aviv regime's illegal airstrike on the Iranian consulate in Damascus recently, which resulted in the assassination of 7 Iranian military officials, including a senior IRGC commander. Settlers attest to the tense hours when Iranian long-range drones and ballistic missiles hovered over the night skies of the occupied territories as bewildering, shocking, and alarming. Many said they spent the night in bunkers and safe rooms, frightened, anxious, and sleepless. It was a new reality they were confronted with, to have been on the receiving end of an attack, much different from being cheerleaders to the slaughter of thousands of innocent Palestinians in Gaza and the repetitive programs in the occupied West Bank. A columnist in Forward described the somber reality of the effects of Iran's retaliatory strikes in the following words, quote, "Sunday is the start of the Israeli work week, but the schools and many offices were closed for the day. This cosmopolitan city's typically crowded light rail was sparse and remarkably silent, with a few passengers glued to their smartphones looking for answers nobody could seem to find," unquote. While the uncertainty of the result of Iran's epoch-making attack has preoccupied military analysts keen to find answers, they certainly cannot ignore the fact that the regime's deterrence capacity has been severely compromised and its much-hyped intelligence prowess has been exposed as a myth. Former French military mission chief to the United Nations, General Dominique Trinquant, made an important point, saying the significant development in this conflict is that Iran has directly hit Israel. Though advanced American defense technology intervened on behalf of Israel to intercept many of the drones and missiles, the Iranian attack carries significant weight, he hastened to add. He wrote, "One cannot underestimate the number of missiles and drones fired at Israel from Iran, Iraq, Yemen, and Lebanon with strikes on the Golan Heights." An equally important observation was made by Didier Leroy, a researcher at the Royal Military Academy of Belgium. According to him, "We have crossed a qualitative threshold that changes the dynamics and repositions Iran on the map as an active military player." From this vantage point, as a former director of Israeli military intelligence, Amos Yodlin predicted that the Iranian attack may lead to a strategic change in the war in Gaza and even to its end. The military decree issued by the Zionist regime's war cabinet to block information on the damage caused by Iran's attacks has gagged local and international media platforms and denied access to independently verified claims that minimal damage had occurred. Such repressive conduct, which unfairly censors news content, has given the regime carte blanche to disseminate propaganda couched as information but far removed from truth and accuracy. A prominent Iranian analyst, Professor Sayed Mohammad Marandi, insisted that Iran's main targets were 2 Israeli regime airbases and that 20 or more missiles struck their targets. He noted, The other drones and older generation missiles were inexpensive decoys that depleted the Israeli air defense capabilities of most of its very expensive missiles. Skeptics who may argue that Iran's attack was a failure either ignore or deliberately obfuscate the new reality of deterrence injected by the Islamic Republic. From an Iranian perspective, the attack on its consulate in Damascus was a red line which, if not retaliated against, would erase any notion of deterrence, opening the door for even more brazen Israeli regime military actions, up to and including direct attacks on Iran. No wonder that former U.S. Marine Corps intelligence officer Scott Ritter described Iran's retaliatory attack as one of the greatest victories of this century. Operation True Promise will go down in history as one of the most important military victories in history of modern Iran, keeping in mind that war is but an extension of politics by other means. The fact that Iran has established a credible deterrence posture without disrupting major policy goals and objectives is the very definition of victory, wrote Ritter. This point is also emphasized by Palestinian academic professor Sami Al-Aryan. He insists that the theory of Israeli deterrence has been greatly undermined. He said, "The strategic situation of the Zionist regime after October 7th is not the same as it was before. Similarly, the regional strategic situation after April 14th is not the same as well." No matter how Israel's racist right-wing regime, headed by a megalomaniac warmonger Benjamin Netanyahu, attempts to spin its lockdown as a victory, the facts dispute this narrative. Iran's prestige as the foremost supporter of Palestine's freedom struggle has been enormously bolstered. It is a position it has not shied away from nor concealed. In fact, part of the strategic calibration that went into its well-coordinated retaliatory attack has been to ensure that Gaza's plight is neither overshadowed nor forsaken. Unsurprisingly, Gaza-based resistance movement Hamas backed Iran and affirmed the natural right of countries and peoples in West Asia to defend themselves in the face of Zionist aggressions. It said, "The military operation carried out by Iran against the Zionist entity is a natural right and a due response to the crime of targeting the consulate in Damascus. The most important lesson of Iran's heroic mission is that fighting for liberation, defending sovereignty, and resisting occupation and oppression is a just cause."
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You are listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Shiraz, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we are going to be examining a very important question. That question is related to one of our most central and important pillars of our Islamic faith. I am referring specifically to prophethood, which we call in Arabic Nubuwwat. So, as you know, prophethood, it means the delegation of messengers by God who are given knowledge, a specific type of knowledge, which we call wahi or revelation, for guidance. Now, sometimes this revelation is meant for guidance of others, sometimes it's just meant for the guidance of that Prophet in particular. So the question that we want to ask today about this subject is this: what is the philosophy or the reasoning behind prophethood and the delegation of